I need to put a trigger warning on this literally. Episode description. If you don't like two people who know nothing about the economy talking about the economy, don't listen to this. Days into 2025, here we are, we're back.
And we're over it. This year is not it. Oof. Our hearts go out to everyone in California right now. Please donate money directly if you can. And there are, I realize this will be outdated when it comes out, but there are some organizations in New York doing drives for clothes and products and money. Activate how you can. Let's all help each other out. I just donated a bunch of beauty and skincare on the way here, and it was really helpful.
That's great,
because I was like, I got all this shit and I want to give it to these people, but they're across the country, so yeah. Luckily people are helping that happen, which is great. We love community.
It is really heartening to see how quickly people activate to organize these drives and donations and stuff like that.
Do you know, I know that you would know it, but do you know by name, it's a bar called Ray's right on the corner of McCarran Park. Oh, it's by Forma Pasta. Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Oh, it's the Triangle Place.
Yes, it's right there.
I can see it in my mind.
That was a revolving door of people dropping shit off. It was really nice. Right. And their half of the bar is just like bags of clothes and products. Shout out to New York and Brooklyn for coming together.
Fair.
How was your holiday and New Year's?
It was fine. It was really chill. Good. It was low key. I just have dinner with my parents Christmas Eve.
Love.
And my brother, and then every Christmas Day dinner for the past 3 years, I've gone and gotten Korean barbecue with my friends.
Nice.
And that's so fun.
Love that.
And we just eat so much and feel awful afterwards. And it's the best.
It's the way to do it.
Yeah. And then, oh my God, New Year's Eve, I ventured to Manhattan, which I never do.
I was shocked.
My boyfriend's the music coordinator at this new restaurant, and he booked the night with DJs and a live band. And they were comping us a dinner. It was great. Lovely place. It's in the Union Square area.
How late were you out?
Okay. It was a prefix meal. Our seating was at 9:30, which I was like, that's crazy.
That's a perfect dinner time.
Really?
I love being young.
Oh my God.
I had a 9:15 last night.
I like dinner ending at 9:30. But anyway, seating was at 9:30. It was like a 3 or 4 course situation. It was 12:55 when I left. And the dessert didn't even come. And I think because they were new, I think it was one of their first nights serving food. Things were just crazy.
Oh, sure.
But the whole time I was like, I will get my tarte tatin. I will not leave this place until I get my tarte tatin.
Wait until you get what?
Tarte tatin. And then they just started dropping chocolate mousses on all the tables. And all I was what if we didn't want the chocolate mousse? My spoiled ass.
The way that you do not play about your food, you're the most chill person that I know. But when it comes to eating, you're like, listen, this is going to go my way.
It's as if I was starved as a child.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Which was not the case at all. But the tarte tatin never came. So at 12:55, I called it and it was lovely. Mm-hmm. But for a relatively chill Manhattan experience, I was like, I don't like this. Mm. I'm glad the dinner was delicious, but I was like, I don't want to be in a crowd of people who are shouting and the air is really humid and the windows are sweating. I'm also more of a hypochondriac, I think, as many people are.
Yeah.
So I was like, I need to go home and do a nasal rinse immediately.
That's smart.
Which
that's
I did.
Really smart.
What was your New Year's like?
Chill as fuck.
I know. I'm so sorry. I switched up plans on you and I was like.
Totally fine. Totally fine. We had gone home to my parents for the holiday, which is always just incredibly nice. I love being home. I love being home with my partner. Mm-hmm. My parents, I'm so lucky that everyone just is so chill and fun. My parents got him a couple, but they got a bunch of really cute shit, but they got him a couple signed Frank Lloyd Wright books.
Oh, wow.
And he was gagged.
That's so thoughtful.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. We got back. We actually did that night at the TWA Hotel.
I saw that on your Instagram. It was really cute.
Listen, it's so funny. It's like getting him a staycation because he works in design and architecture is like getting me a Sephora gift card. Yeah, it's I'm good. But so it's sort of like, oh, God, this might flop. But I have to say, man, shout out to me. That was a great. It was just so fun.
Yeah.
The TWA Hotel is so fucking cool. It's just really nice to go out there. We had dinner. We had a couple of drinks. The space is
incredible. Is there a restaurant there?
Incredible. Yeah, it's really good, too. Cool. It was just a really sick place to spend an evening. I got us a room that looked out onto the tarmac, so you saw the planes going in and out. It was lovely. Anyway, so that was we got home on New Year's Eve.
Uh-huh.
And we were going to go. We had one party to go to, but then we were going to go to your thing. Plans changed. No big deal. We went to this little party in Bushwick, which couldn't have been more chill. And then we were home on the couch by 11:30. It was nice. Yeah, it was good. It was all good.
I hate New Year's Eve. Like with
I like New Year's Eve.
I think it makes
Eve.
Everyone feel nervous and terrible.
No, I like New Year's Eve as long as, I mean, I would never go to a bar on New Year's Eve after having bartender for 10 years. Like, please. No. It's a one night. Never mind. Yeah, it's amateur hour, but it was lovely. It was, I really like New Year's Day too.
I really love Lunar New Year's.
Yes.
I think that shit pops off.
Yeah.
The dragons, the confetti, the cakes.
Is that what all that confetti cakes was on my way here?
There's confetti.
Like all around Greenpoint, there's like streamers.
Oh, really? I haven't been outside today, so I don't know.
Huh.
No, Lunar New Year, I think, is, it's usually like late Jan, early Feb.
Oh.
Ish.
I should at least pretend to know this.
I don't know. Yeah, I have to ask the moon. So whenever the moon says it is. But I feel like it's like a more food and togetherness kind of.
It's a very you holiday.
Concept. So I'm into that.
Yeah.
I've never traveled for the holidays because I live in the same city as my parents. So it's like, I just go to see them. But I would really love to take a vacation during the holidays, like through Christmas and through New Year's, and just experience it in a different part of the world with a different culture and how they celebrate it. And I think that would nix a lot of the weird. It's not quite FOMO. It's like FOMO adjacent feeling, but it's this like weird anxiety that New Year's Eve always gives me. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is FOMO. I don't know. It's just like FOMO to the max.
Yeah.
Because I never get FOMO. So I'm like, why do I feel weird? Like I have to do something even though I don't want to do something, but I feel pressured to do something.
Right.
And if nothing happens, it's bad.
I was surprised at how inexpensive the hotel that we got was. We got a nice room, but I thought it was going to be like peak days.
It's holiday.
Because it's holidays and like right before New Year's, it was like.
But it's also like an airport hotel.
I also looked at the Chelsea Hotel for other nefarious reasons. And that was that and the Beekman too. I don't know. Around New Year's, it's like dirt cheap.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird. I would not have expected that.
I love hotels. I feel like it's been forever.
It has been forever.
I know. Sorry about the break. We were living our lives.
We were in our existential spiral, as always. Dude, everybody I know is in an existential spiral right now.
Really?
Yeah. I also know a lot of people who don't have jobs, so.
Well, you're looking at one. I finally took Sable's advice and quit my job.
Quit. Yay.
New year, new adventures.
How did it go?
How did it go?
How do people quit jobs these days? Is there an email?
Don't do it like I did.
Oh, no.
I gave my notice before the holiday, but I gave them 10 business days, which turned into 12. I gave them like a proper 2 weeks, but there was a holiday in between.
Yeah.
And so 2 weeks turned into a full month. I was like, respectfully, get me out of here.
What the heck?
Yeah, it's fine. It's just an awkward thing to drag out like I did. Yeah. But yeah.
But it's an extra 2 weeks on the payroll.
That's true.
So
yeah. Cool. New year.
Oh my God.
New adventures.
Are you ready to talk about
what's
okay?
I truly never want to talk about my job on this podcast again. I'm so sick
Maybe
of myself.
That's it. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like now people know where you work. No one knows where I work unless they know where I live.
I will say that
I don't really work in here.
Well, you don't work at all. No, it's in the fragrance space, which I'm very excited about. I'm really looking forward to jumping in, and I'm taking a week off for myself to go to a ton of museums, and I just need to like look at art again and be inspired again. But I am excited. It's exciting to bring some creative expertise and marketing expertise and this expertise to a role. I think it's going to be perfect. And I'm frankly traumatized, but but I am allowing myself to be optimistic and excited. We'll see.
I mean, sometimes people like their jobs.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's allowed, right?
It's allowed.
You're going to write more this year? What do you think?
I guess I have to.
Yeah.
I think.
Not more. What is your year?
Everyone asks me, they're like, oh, so when's your next book? And I'm never going to write a book again. Are you kidding me? No.
Yeah.
I never want to do this again.
Right.
Certainly not a nonfiction. I feel like this past year, I learned, not that I'm like not stoked with what I did and like how it turned out and all that, especially, honestly, I feel like I'm more satisfied about the perfume I made about the book than the book. TBH. But I think just because I put so much mental and emotional energy into this for 2.5 years, and then it came out and it was like, all right, next. And I was like, wow, achieving things is really a scam. And then with the whole launch that I feel it was like a really nothing burger that I was like, cool, I really wish someone would have told me how this went. So if you told me that I had to do it, I would have done it. But nobody told me I had to do it. So I was waiting for some like,
yeah.
And then nothing happened. So I was like, great. I feel like this really didn't.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, it felt like a major moment from the outside.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like I'm straddling the inside and the outside here, but it felt major to us, civilians.
Totally, yeah. I don't think people having like a big launch party necessarily leads to sales.
Sure.
I think the press leads to sales, word of mouth leads to sales.
And you got that press.
Yeah, and the press is great, thankfully. But it's like, if I'm going to do something, I want to do everything I can to support it.
Right.
And I was kind of like, oh, that really didn't. Okay. I think the paperback comes out this year. Again, nobody's telling me anything about this. So I was like, guys, what's happening? And then my new editor just left the publishing company. So
Jesus.
Yeah, she just emailed me to be like, hey, this is going to be the person that's your contact. So I was like, cool. So I don't know none of y'all anymore.
Yeah.
Who is this person? So anyway, now I have to figure out my life again.
It's okay.
It's fine. I had a really nice conversation with Redacted.
Oh.
Yeah. Really sweet person. I don't know what it is when you have a cool, inspiring conversation with someone
yeah.
about just creative ideas and the business that you're both in. And I'm like, I miss that feeling, mm-hmm. that kind of revved up, look at all the things we can do feeling. So I'm kind of like, okay, I think there are things out there. And I think I just also need to put myself out there a little bit more.
Sure.
Consulting, maybe. I don't know. Product. I don't know.
Okay.
I've always said, like, I don't really want to do a product line.
Do a product line.
I was talking to this with another friend who also works in the fragrance industry. And I was like, does the world need me to make another fragrance? Who cares? And then she's just like asking, does the world need more paintings? And I was like, oh, that's a nice way to put it. Because she's, you're not just making another skincare brand.
Dude, like, I mean, doing it with them wouldn't be fucking like doing, no, I mean, shout out to Joey and everyone, but
yeah,
like.
They would be, yeah. It's all new to me. All
that's
new
okay.
to me.
Everything is new. Yeah. We're all figuring it out.
Exactly. But we'll see. I also don't think, I do not have a quarter of the internet presence of the people they work with. Who knows about that?
Yeah, but that can be a strength.
I don't know, but I feel like just choosing to work to make a business venture with a person just because they have a certain amount of followers, I don't think is necessarily the smartest move.
You're right, but that's guaranteed sales or one
for sure.
Totally.
Like, that's cool. But the things that I think I really want to do are like not the things that make money, so no one's going to support those.
Right.
I was like, yeah, I feel like in communities. Also, I say this as an introvert too, so I'm just really punishing myself here. But I'm like, there's no third spaces for beauty community that's not a stupidly expensive exclusive membership club.
Right.
But like, yeah, there's no cool community spaces where people can go to, I don't know, work on projects together. Or I just think everyone needs to fucking log off. So it's like, craft club. I don't know. Do something with your hands. But yeah, this doesn't make people money, so no one.
That's for figuring out this year. Put some stuff down on paper.
Yeah. Who knows?
You know?
But Titan, what do you smell like today?
I think when last we spoke, our last episode, I talked a little bit about the Coty and Fenty Ma line. And I smelled all of them because I wrote a feature for Nylon it. And Kara mentioned, she was like, how is it? Because you sounded mid on it. And I was like, yeah, they're a bunch of florals, so it's like
a lot of florals.
They're 14 cents, and there's a musk, there's a vanilla, they're not all florals, but they're essentially all florals.
Okay.
I'm wearing Artisto Chypre from the line. It is, as the name would denote, their Chypre, which typically is, a Chypre is a type of scent, it's like a build.
Yeah.
It is usually citrus on top, florals in the middle, and animalic or patchouli oak moss base situation.
Right.
And if you don't agree with that, fight about it in the Fragrantica comments, please spare me. But I typically don't run towards Chypres. They're very classic. They're very that. But in Coty actually credits themselves for not creating the Chypre, but reimagining it back in the early 1900s and making it a lot more, not feminine, but they were typically really heavy and masculine and like really animalic, and Coty reimagined it to be a little softer and smoother. People of all genders would like it. And so this is a reimagining of that. And when I tell you, there is just something about this fragrance that I cannot stop wearing and smelling and thinking about. It is so beautiful. It's like all over me. Maybe up higher. Do you smell it?
It's subtle on you, but it reminds me of a really almost a men's aftershave, but with a powdery aspect to it that makes it a little more cozy and
it's
soft.
So nice. It's like green and velvety and warm. And yeah, it's like a warm green scent. It's just beautiful. It's like, it's not boozy and it's not sweet. And but it wants to be all of these things that Chypres and like greens usually are not.
Uh-huh.
And not the type of shit I usually wear, but I've gone back to it quite a bit. I just can't wrap my head around it in a really nice way.
Oh, that's nice.
It's interesting that Coty, as if you're listening to the show, you probably know what Coty is. But if you don't, they're a company that creates fragrances for all of the fragrances you already buy. So it's Coty makes Marc Jacobs, Calvin Klein, and like all of
Calvin Klein philosophy.
But they are finally breaking in. They're branding Coty as a fragrance brand themselves now. And that's what Infiniment is. It's an interesting choice. I think it is probably a response to beauty and fragrance just being so prolific that they're like, we're already in it. We want a piece of this. Totally. I don't know that I agree. These could all come out as different things under different houses. Sold. I like actually don't know.
Stores?
I don't know if it's just direct right now. Oh, fuck. Coty being an old school legacy brand, I would think that they're probably in retail somewhere exclusively. I just don't know where. I think that they're definitely worth exploring. I love Artiso Cheaper. It's so incredible.
Yeah, I need to reacquaint myself with... I have a couple of their samples scattered about in my sample drawer. I have to rediscover them. I do have the full size of the J'ai Trois Amours one, which is the banana leaf accord.
I love that one.
It's really nice. It's a beautiful, I think, sexy lady scent in a like professional way.
Yeah.
Take that as you will.
Sure.
Which isn't not necessarily a me scent, but it is a very nice scent.
The other one I really liked, so I love that one. I love Artiso Cheaper, famously. And I love, I'm going to fuck this up, a Thomas Crocus. It's a honeysuckle and green tea scent. Ooh. Oh my God, it's so
nice. That sounds really nice.
Yeah, they're like classic florals, but really blown out.
They are quite classic, but punchy.
Yeah. They're heady.
Yeah.
The whole thing is a little bit of a head scratcher to me, if I'm being honest, but they're definitely quality. And there are some huge hits within the fragrance collection. So thank you, Coty.
Yeah, I feel like I haven't heard a lot about them in amongst the social media like fragrance
real people,
world.
Yeah.
But like editorially, honestly, not even that. Just like a name drop here and there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm curious to see what's going to go on with that.
Yeah, yes.
And I think they're like expensive too.
They're $2.90.
Jeez. Yeah.
You get a lot, but.
Is it 75? It's 100 mils.
I think it's 100 mils. Okay, they're huge.
Okay, cool.
Sable, what do you smell like today?
Okay, so I feel like I texted you about this. I don't know, maybe the other week. I don't know what time is. Yeah, about how everyone's doing cherry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think it was like last night.
Probably. I was like, everyone's doing cherry again. Oh, yeah, you're right. That literally was yesterday. I think the thought has been circling in my mind for so long. So I revisited. I had bottles of the Tom Ford cherry collection that were just like stashed in the back of my collection. So I took out the electric cherry and the cherry smoke and in typical me fashion, put one on each wrist. And I remember when I originally tried them, came out like 2023.
It was a minute ago. Yeah, it was not 2024.
It was
2024.
A while ago. If it was 2024, it would have been like early 2024.
It wasn't.
I remember initially not liking the electric cherry because I thought it smelled like soap.
Same.
And now I don't hate it.
Really?
I don't love it, but I don't hate it.
You're wearing cherry smoke though too, right?
Yes.
I love that one.
Cherry smoke is good.
Yeah.
It's good. I still think the original Lost Cherry is the best one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do really like the cherry smoke.
Yeah.
Also because I think I texted you that because I got this scent in the mail. I think it's an influencer scent. It's called Bella Perversa, which...
I
know. In my mind, I was like, for beautiful perverts.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, sign me up. I was like, it's just for me.
Please.
I forget who the person is attached to it. It's not their name. It's like their brand, but it's only one scent in the brand.
I hate that bottle.
The bottle, it's, But then the scent is actually, I feel like such a bitch, but like, it's actually good. Yep. But I'm like, I swear to God.
Oh, wait, Scarlet?
Yeah.
The
brand is called Bella Perversa, and the fragrance is called Scarlet.
Are you sure about this?
It does smell a lot like the modern celebrity scents.
It's like Libra, but make it cherry.
Yes.
It's not bad.
Exactly. It's not bad. More so, it's better than I thought it would be. I wore it one day last week, and on the dry down, I really liked it.
Yeah. I could see this being really pretty. Yeah, it's a crowd pleaser for sure. I love something that's Libra coated though. I'll say it.
No,
I know
that's
what
everyone's
doing, but better than another Santal 33 era, respectfully.
The scent itself is nice though.
Yeah.
I do think it is giving, I say this respectfully, but like when I was in college, this would have been like the most sexy, sophisticated grown up scent to me.
Yeah.
If I'd smelled this in college. And I feel like the audience probably skews a little young.
Sure. It is very pretty. I'll give him that.
Okay, Daisy Marquez. I don't know who that is. I guess she's an influencer. But yeah, it's meant to be sexy, seductive, and luxurious.
I definitely don't mean to be a bitch about it just because she's an influencer, because I would stand like a Happy Meal if it gave me a fragrance. But yeah. Daisy
It's giving the can.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's giving can. It is for sure giving can. Amazing.
I feel, and this is nothing to say about the scent. I stand by, I think that this is a beautiful perfume for anyone who knows what sexy ladies smell. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know where I was going with that. I like the scent. That's it. It is cherry coated. It smells like, it's giving burnt cherry, like black cherry a little bit. It's Libra plus black cherry.
Yeah, there's a lot of Libra in
there. There's a lot of Libra in there.
Meaning vanilla,
patchouli.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sandalwood.
It's all
pretty.
The hits.
It's pretty.
But
Ariana is allegedly doing a new cherry fragrance.
Of course she is.
And you know what? We welcome it into the world.
Is it the one that's like Forever or something? The UK release?
No.
No.
No, I don't really know what's going on with that. It's allegedly called Cherry Eclipse. If anyone is mad at me for saying that, please don't be. Ariana, please come on the show. Don't have anything going on right now. You can definitely make time for us. I think I've said this on the show before, but I think that Lost Cherry was the genesis of a lot of what we're seeing right now.
Of course. Any expensive perfume that goes viral will spawn a million
Of course. But what I mean is that was, I feel, the first sort of time that we started seeing one more fun fruity notes called out into this whole thing. The note is in the name. Lost Cherry is pretty literal. For Tom Ford, I know that collections, as they do colored components, but it had the red bottle.
Yeah.
And it was just like a sexy left turn for them. It was really fun. And I think now that Lost Cherry has a lot of suns, is what I'm trying to say. We have it to thank for, I think, the direction part that fragrance has gone.
Yeah.
And I think for the better. We're having fun.
I mean, it's a great scent. I don't typically think of cherry when they think of like a luxury fragrance necessarily. You kind of put that on its head, and then everyone's like, no,
totally.
Cherry and everything, and it's luxury. Oh, but speaking of luxury, I was writing a piece for Marie Claire about the insanely expensive, extravagant, luxury bespoke perfumes that certain legacy houses make.
Sure.
So I talked to our good friend, Ben Krigler. Lovely guy. Love talking to him. He's so sweet. He has clients and they'll drop like $55,000, like $500,000 for a bespoke perfume. Insane.
Wait, $55,000 or $500,000?
The range. That's the range.
Got it.
I think the cheapest amount he mentioned was $40,000.
That is a car.
Insane.
That is a whole car.
I genuinely want to be like, how do they make their money? But
afterwards
he was like, oh, I want to send you my latest fragrance. I was like, of course, obviously I would love it. And it's called Villa Isar. It's based on like skiing in Germany in the winter on the Isar River. Yes.
It's cute.
Yeah. I'm so curious what your thoughts are.
Why? She says menacingly.
Deviously.
Wait, is this going to be a...
I want to know what you think, because I also showed it to Noah, and he said something that I didn't think of before, but now I can't unsmell it.
It smells like popcorn. I don't dislike it at all.
This is a scent. To me, it's like almost like literal scent of hot cocoa.
Oh, my God.
It's like all of the components of hot cocoa. Yeah.
Swiss Miss tea.
Yes. It's like a Swiss Miss.
What?
But that's so funny that you said popcorn jelly bean, because Noah immediately said candy corn.
That's so
funny. And then as soon as he said it, I was like, yes.
We're the same.
Yes. And it's not even like obviously it's part of the flavor, but it's like that sugary texture of candy corn.
I keep knocking this mic. I'm sorry. But now I'm getting like, now it's on my...
What's like fun about this is that for a house like Krigler, that's like intense luxury, like historic luxury.
Yeah.
I feel like this is such a capital G gourmand.
Yes.
They're not watering it down to be like, we're an elevated gourmand. A gourmand. This is what a teenage girl's purse would smell like, and it makes your mouth water.
This is so fun.
It's so fun, but I was like, whoa, good on you, Ben, for making this truly unabashedly decadent gourmand that's not trying to be like, I'm not like the other gourmands.
It does smell like hot chocolate powder.
It does, yeah, like the powder.
Like the powder specifically.
Yeah.
Even
like
before
you mix it. Yeah. Freeze dried marshmallows.
How fun.
I know.
You know, respectfully, I don't really fuck with Krigler like that, but this is a hoot. If I hit that mic one more goddamn time.
I'm not familiar with a ton of their fragrances. Oh, I think they have two.
Okay.
One of their newer ones that's, it's spelled like abracadabra, but he pronounced it abracadabra, and I was like, that's a mind fuck.
Yeah.
But that's a really nice, it's a really unique scent in that it's very green and round and bouncy, which I've not smelled before. But then I also have a more classic one, the English Promenade 19 one, which is like classic rose, and it feels very My Fair Lady. Guess how much this is?
I was actually going to ask, how much is that, 400?
So the 50 ml, this is 50 ml, is $5.95.
Would you please be serious?
And the 100 ml is $7.95. Insane. But he was like, this sold out.
What?
Yeah.
Will he send this to me? He doesn't know who I am. Nor does he give a shit.
It's a Marie-Laure.
Oh, yeah. She knows who I am. Yeah, bonjour. Yeah.
I love the idea of these, just, I don't know, really stuffy rich people wearing the scent of hot chocolate. I just think it's funny.
Same. Marie-Laure, we are free to be flown to Paris at your convenience. Okay. So I'm looking at Me by Sniff.
It's my first Sniff scent.
Really?
Yeah. It's the only Sniff scent that I've been sent.
I really like Sniff.
I know you do.
And I'm more excited about their sister brand, No Noses. We know that. But I really genuinely think the Sniff's core collection is really good. They've been doing
Core collection. This isn't No Noses.
Yeah.
Okay.
They've been doing a lot of collabs lately.
Yeah.
And or just like one-offs. Oh, you know what? They did a fig scent that I think you'd really like.
Okay.
I think it's called Val Factor. I meant to bring it over. It really evolves throughout wear, and it hits all the fig notes at different times. I really like it. I'll bring it. Okay. It's called Me by Sniff, which is funny because I feel like it's a riff of You by Glossier.
It sure is.
And very bold.
It's literally like, if Baccarat Rouge and Cloud had a baby.
I think it's Baccarat Rouge and Santal 33.
I'd accept that.
This,
but it's just like the telltale Ambroxan bomb of Baccarat Rouge, which is, it's like everywhere now.
It is.
What's their face? Noise, N-O-Y-Z. They released 12 o'clock.
Yep.
Another Baccarat.
Baccarat.
And on the one hand, I get it. It's a pleasant scent. Some people actually really, I feel like it's a very polarizing scent, that like Accord, Broxen Accord, but.
To me, I'm not calling it unique by any stretch, but I haven't really smelled, and I'm not wearing it on skin, but I haven't really smelled the sort of combination of a Santal and a Baccarat in that way. Yeah, it is what it is.
It's nice, but I also think it's unoriginal.
I think it's nice, she says begrudgingly. Wait, let me smell it on you.
I think it's like a pleasant, clean, sweetly clean scent.
Yeah, forgive me for using this jargon, but it's made Baccarat Rouge into a skin scent.
Yeah,
I feel
like it's literally that. That was her whole concept behind naming it Me. They're like, it just smells like you, and it morphs on everyone's skin.
Can we just stop saying that?
Chemistry.
Oh.
Stop saying skin chemistry. The title of this episode.
Sorry, we're burning through new launches.
This is out. Yeah, this is out already. I was like, for a second, I was like, was that on Virgo? I was like, no, it is out.
Smelling Golden Rule by Fleur, the brand that I have come around to.
It's nice. It's fine.
They're like hearing out Pear, I think, right?
I thought it was Mandarin.
There's Mandarin in it, but I think all the imagery here heroes Pear, and I think like Golden Pear. Oh, yes, I'm looking at it. Golden Pear, sorry. Mandarin Splash, Pink Pepper, Golden Pear. Orange flower water, jasmine blossom, coconut milk. Ooh. Benzoin, sandalwood, vanilla cream.
It's nice.
It is nice. It's cute.
It's something I've smelled before for sure.
It's giving, there's a lot of jasmine.
Yeah.
It's jasmine, pear.
Jasmine Sembach, man.
Yeah.
She's that girl.
It's nice. It's fine.
It's nice. It's fine. Yeah. Basically, I was like, it's fine.
Yeah. Fleur, I've come around. I've eaten my words mostly, or I still agree with myself, but I think that they're doing better. But yeah, cute.
Yeah. This is more like this smells to me like a fragrance.
This?
Yeah, like this smells like almost like a classic or conventional, like woman's fine fragrance of the time.
Sure.
It's not as conceptual.
Sure. Yeah. I think they definitely sort of went back.
Like it almost smells like a YSL or
absolutely.
Like a, designer fragrance.
Should I put on skin?
Mm-hmm. I'll do. Yeah.
Oh, I've been working my way through the Orme.
Discovery Kit.
Discovery.
I love the shapes.
They're so cute.
I'm a child. I'm like, it's nothing.
What is the one I wore yesterday? 1812?
1812.
I wore 1812 by Orme yesterday, and it's this type of shit that Sable's been liking lately, and that it's like cherry, almond, etc. Yeah. It gave me bubble gum in a really fun way.
It is bubble gummy.
I really like that a lot. yeah, I've kept seeing Orme sort of popping around lately. I will say thanks in large to Stella's influence.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been really enjoying each and every one of these.
They're very like, they feel very fancy.
Yeah, they do.
Very like, I don't know, the row adjacent.
No.
No?
They're too cool for the row. I mean, or too loud for the row.
They're too loud for the row for sure. But it is, I don't know. They seem, I don't know if traditional perfumery is the word. I don't think that's it. But again, these I'm like, this is, it's like the Harry Styles. It's a movie that feels like a movie. It's a fragrance that feels like a fragrance.
Right, right.
They're like really nice, sophisticated fragrance profiles that smell, I don't know, pretty elegant.
What have I worn? I've worn 28 Degrees. I've worn 1812. And I've worn...
Very well blended. I'll say that.
Gorgeous. Sable found this really interesting to us post this week about... What's that?
I'm like, I did?
You did. About the... virality score and social media impact of fragrance brands from 2024, of which there are a top 10 list. And it's not like altogether shocking, but I eat shit like this up.
Yeah.
And we thought we could give it a quick rundown. So
what did I do with that?
These are brands, not specifically fragrances, but they pretty much speak for themselves.
Oh, I sent the two on Instagram. Yeah. That's why. I was like,
number 10 is Lancôme. That is a little bit of a shock to me. If we're measuring...
But you have to remember, like, all of the people who, that's all they know. Like, they go to the counters.
But if we're talking social impact, Lancôme still is surprising to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Number 9 is Kayali. Mm-hmm. Number 9, my favorite number, one of my favorite brands. I am actually shocked that they're not higher on the list.
Well, compared to who are the other people on the list.
Yeah, because they are so, like, social is their... I don't want to say entire business. I don't fucking know. But
it's a lot of it.
It's a lot of it. And they do really well. And they're just so easy to love.
There's something chaotic,
something for everyone. Super visual, super fun, super young. I feel like they do that really good thing of like, they capture the zeitgeist really well while still keeping, like staying in their own lane. I think it's a really nice balance of both.
Mm, yeah.
So interesting that they're not that number 9 across the board is low. But number 8 is Victor and Rolf. Mm-hmm. Another one that's a little bit of a shock for me.
That it's number 8 or that it's on the list at all?
It's on the list at all. And really? We love Victor and Rolf, but...
I don't know, but Flower Bomb is such a hit. People, I feel like Flower Bomb is keeping the lights on there.
I would love to understand a little bit more how this, what, like,
Spice
how
Bomb.
This data was pulled and what it means. You know what I mean?
I feel like any brand that has a men's fragrance that's popular, like, that will always pull because I feel like so many men just... buy the same fragrance.
And we see that reflected higher up on the list too.
The retention.
But I guess when we talk about TikToks and shit, like my fragrance wardrobe and like a lot of people are talking about the same shit all the time, which is fine. And a lot of it is, I don't want to say expected, but there's going to be a lot of Flower Bomb on in this content. I mean,
it's at the Sephora. It's easily accessible and it's popular.
And it's good. Flower Bomb is great. I don't care what anyone says. That should be my next tattoo. Number 7 is Chanel.
Mm-hmm.
No shock there. I feel like you can't get away from it whether you want to or not.
I honestly was like, I'm surprised that's not higher.
Really?
Because like there's the older demos who just are repeat customers. Yeah. And there's the younger demos who want it for the status and also because they like the smells.
Yeah.
And then the gifting, like everyone gifts Chanel.
Also, I would say that Chanel's beauty, like makeup specific, is probably almost as strong as their fragrance. I mean, I'm sure fragrance outsells it, but...
I just... not me rereading the headline and being like, oh...
Oh, no.
Who are the buzziest fragrance brands on social media in 2024? In my brain, I was going by sales of what I think would sell the most.
Right,
so
no,
that is actually surprising.
It's like
that,
impressions.
That Chanel.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
Yeah.
That's why I'm surprised about Lancôme. Okay. I'm surprised about...
I am surprised about... Yeah. I'm not surprised that Lancôme is number 10, but...
I'm surprised
it's
on
the list at all. But if it is on the list, it's in last place.
Number 6 makes perfect sense
with
this metric. Or, what is that?
Orabella.
But the Bella Hadid brand.
Yeah, of course that makes sense.
The girls are chirping about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
I had a moment where I was like, this is great. And then I revisited them like several months later and I was like, it's fine.
Yeah. But yeah, those are made to blow up on TikTok. Gigi Hadid, you are not the doll. Bella Hadid. Giorgio Armani is number 5.
They have some pretty big hits with... Was it Stronger Than You? Which I think is such a funny name.
Yeah.
What was the other one? My Way. People love My Way.
I think it's With You.
Stronger With You. Stronger With You.
It's such a combative name for a fragrance. This one, I'm shocked about Lancôme, but I'm not shocked about Giorgio Armani.
I think that it makes sense on social media, Giorgio Armani.
I just also feel like they have...
I feel like it's a lot of clean girls who wear Giorgio Armani.
I just feel like they do larger, more sustained press and also media
that.
Pushes.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's more people
Yeah,
have
they
time.
Put a lot of power behind social media.
And there's always... Like Lancôme, there's always a celebrity face.
Ads.
Yeah, there's always a celebrity face with it to drive it, but...
Sydney Sweeney was...
What is she not the face of at this point?
She's capitalizing on Sydney Sweeney as much as she can. And I'm like, okay.
Cut the check, girl. Number four is Kylie Cosmetics.
Of course.
Thanks solely to Cosmic. I should have saved this, but I read / watched something about while Kylie Cosmetics was dipping in sales year over year for probably obvious reasons, Cosmic, the fragrance, really reinvigorated the entire business.
Wow.
Which is pretty genius on their part because, one, it was like made in a lab to be a huge crowd pleaser, and it is
literally
like,
that it was engineered
it was
to do that
engineered
so.
To for people cool. to love, and it's to their credit, it's great. Like, it's not new, but it's great. One hero product will keep people coming back to the scent and the brand.
Totally.
We saw it with Glossier U. This should be no surprise.
Yves Saint Laurent
Libra is that girl. She'll always be that girl, whether we like it or not. And everyone is wearing it, which brings us to number two, Dior, in the Sauvage of it all. I would say that this is driven more so by men.
Absolutely.
Knowing what we know about.
Yeah, Sauvage was the best-selling perfume in the world.
Yeah. Was it really?
Yeah, in the entire world.
Christ,
the
Jesus.
The one perfume. Yep.
It's a whole lot of people making the wrong decision.
Yep.
No.
I think it makes sense that it's a men's fragrance because... people gift it to men, and then men just keep buying it because they're like, this is what works.
Yeah.
My brother used to wear Sauvage. His ex-wife said she liked it on him. And then I was like, you got to cut that shit out.
Yeah.
And guess how that relationship went? Divorce. So guess what? And I've just been like giving him all of, I'm like literally wear so many things. He actually really liked a Maison Francis Kurkdjian scent I gave him. Mm. It was like the skyscraper one. It was a number. It was like 724 or something.
Sure.
But the last time I went over to my parents' house, it was like the bottle's empty. I was like, damn, you really went through that.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, this is the scent that I get the most compliments on.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember, was that really Aldehyde?
It was like really minerally and ozonic.
Okay.
It was I thought it was a really interesting scent, and it was really, not that they gender their scents. I think it was a little bit like masculine coded, but it had that kind of glassy scaffolding that a lot of fragrance enhancers have.
Oh, sure.
So it's really interesting.
For the pandemic drop?
I think it was like 2022.
Sort
Yeah.
Okay.
Tail end of the pandemic.
Last but not least, who do we think it is?
Of
who could it be?
You already know it.
You already know.
Sol de Janeiro.
Sol de Janeiro. Thank you, teens.
Thank you, teenagers. They're not like that expensive. I don't know why I thought they were pretty expensive. Maybe just because they're in Sephora, but it's like...
what is that, $40 for a body spray?
It's 38 for 8 ounces, which is like the big...
Yeah, you get a lot.
You do get a lot. You don't get as much as like a Bath & Body Works. I think you get Bath & Body Works gives you 12 ounces.
Sure.
Or 11. But obviously, if that's like the scent you want, you're basically buying in bulk. Also, they have like the Magnums too. But they are nice scents. They're not like me scents necessarily, but like they're so pretty.
Yeah.
That I feel like... obviously, anyone who wears them, they're going to get compliments.
They're easy to love.
They're easy to love, yeah. It's not, you don't have to like jump over hoops to interpret it.
No, absolutely. How do you, I'm asking you because you have worn them certainly more than I have. How do you find the longevity of the body spray?
They will follow you to
really?
The grave. They will, they stay on your clothes.
Okay.
That is one thing I will say about them. For a body mist, they stay.
Wow.
And I think that also has to do with the fragrance profile itself. They're just like really kind of sticky scent profiles, some more than others. But I think the classic one, the Chiraza 62, is one of the most popular. And then the one that kind of smells like Baccarat, I think it's like 40, is the other most popular.
Yeah.
I'm partial to 59 myself, but I think I like it more in the body butter form than the mist.
Okay.
The mist, something about the mist form, it smells like a wet wool or like fake maple syrup to me.
Oh, God.
I don't know what this scent quality is that fake maple syrup has that I recognize it in so many things, but it parallels like wet wool on the subway to me. Yeah, it's weird.
Are there any brands that you are surprised not to see reflected on this list?
I am surprised Glossé was not on the list.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're like such a social media brand and they released two fragrances.
The two new fragrances had a really healthy runway.
Yeah.
And frankly, they didn't need that launch to hit that list. So you're right. Like, that
I am a little bit surprised about
that. It's a good call. And because people also really fuck with the scents. Yeah. I think rightfully so.
I am a teeny bit surprised about maybe Prada. I feel like Prada gets a lot of lip service.
Especially with Paradox.
Yeah. And they just had this big Paradox installation thing for social.
Yep.
I don't know.
I completely agree with you.
I'm surprised Baccarat Rouge, like Maison Francis Kurkdjian, wasn't on there.
Yep. I'm also surprised about Replica. I feel like they've had an especially big year.
Totally. What the heck?
Yeah.
But maybe like Maison Francis Kurkdjian and Maison Margiela Replica, even though they're like mainstream. And in Replica's case, in Sephora, it's still considered kind of niche to mass audiences.
I disagree about Replica. I think they're so
I think mass. It's still considered niche to mass.
Oh, I do not. Yeah. I think they're not a counter brand, but I think they're like...
I think the perspective of them, because Margiela is a niche brand. And also they are expensive, too.
They always are more than I thought.
Yeah, same.
I'll give you Francis Kurkdjian, though.
Yeah. If for no reason alone, then people are like trying to find a fucking dupe.
Yeah,
but also,
right.
Like, what other fragrances of theirs do people talk about?
None. Which is unforged because they have so many gorgeous
fleurs.
Fragrance.
How come Fleur wasn't on the list?
Fleur, you're so right about that. Yeah. Yeah.
It's giving, hmm.
I think that now that Fleur is here to stay, but they're not eating off of the virality of Missing Person any longer, I'm interested to see, and frankly, I think for the better, like I've said, their
creative
is done.
To have quieted down.
Their launches certainly haven't, but I am interested in seeing the lifespan and longevity of the brand. You know,
I feel like they went into body mists and those really popped off.
Really popped for them, yeah.
Yeah. I think they realized like their customer skews a little younger, so they needed, it'd be a good idea to offer something that was like slightly more affordable.
Yeah, because these also, like,
they're like 60,
are a little more expensive than I ever think they are.
No, I think they're 90.
They're 90. That's 90. A lot for brand, for like a viral brand for young people.
Personally, if it's under $100 for 50 mls, I think that's comparatively to the fragrance world, I put that in the affordable category. Compared to as much as a fragrance could cost. If it's under $90 for a 50 ml.
I think there should be a law that if you are a 50 ml perfume and you are in Sephora, you should not be over $65. Or you
I think that's a stretch. I think that for Ulta,
right.
I don't think that for Sephora. Because I think Ulta is like a little bit more mass than Sephora.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But what was it? The Sabrina Carpenter fragrances. You get 75 mls and it's $60, which is pretty good, right? I was like, oh, wow, that's not as expensive as I thought it was. And then I was looking at the comments and everyone's like, why is it so expensive? Please make a smaller one so we can afford this. And I was like, okay, most of you are probably children, so I get it. But I'm like, bro, that is...
I do feel like... I'm not saying they're too expensive. I do think they're
fine price point.
Well... Listen, Chriselle and Fleur, I know that I personally talked a lot of shit about you for 2.5 years consecutively. However, I've changed my tune.
Hey.
Consider coming on the show.
That's a feat.
Do you think that they would?
Getting out of the rent.
Ever.
God, they were pitching us for a while, remember?
No. I asked her for a quote recently. And
really?
She like... They kind of respectfully told me to fuck off. And I was like,
oh,
you know what?
Shit.
I deserve that. No, I don't, I don't
to
think.
The pot,
I think it was... yeah, probably. I think
their
turnaround was too fast, honestly.
But, turnaround? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fair. But no, and we kind of...
I'll pitch them. I'll be like, listen,
I don't know what to ask.
I'll say it.
I don't think anything I earnestly would want to know about the brand would be a not rude question to ask. Cool. But I think that's interesting. What's all this then?
Yeah.
That's my question. So this brings us to the state of scent.
The state of scent.
The state of scent 2025. Where are we at? Who can say? I think we're in like the... niche era. And when I say niche, I mean like independent small brands popping up.
What brands are you excited about this year, Sable?
None of them.
Knowing that all brands can burn in hell, but who are you excited for?
Man, I don't freaking know. I think, again, I'm in my easily overstimulated era. Everyone kind of has a brand that they always keep an eye on, and like whenever they launch something, they're automatically interested.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can name one of those for me.
I can.
Okay.
I'm excited about Net.
Oh, both. You do love that.
I do love that. Both candles and eau de parfums. I think I'm really excited about them.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, Marissa Zappos and Courtney Raffews at Universal Flowering, yeah. There's Givens, their family. But I think that's definitely the one. I'm always excited about Kaylee. I wish I could access my WhatsApp so I could hear that voice note from Mona that's been haunting me for months. Yeah, I think those are probably my easiest answers there. Easiest and truest.
I am interested to see what the more mass brands launch, because I feel like they're more risk averse, which is funny to me because I'm like, y'all have the money to do shit.
Yeah.
But I feel like what mass brands launch tends to be a more accurate reflection of cultural tastes than quote unquote luxury, if you use that term lightly, or niche or artisanal things. Because artisanal is the perspective of the artist, obviously.
Sure.
And mass is like, this has to sell, so it has to be popular, you know?
Yeah.
Serving people a version of a reflection of their reflection back at them.
Ooh, so, I love the way you just said that. I agree, and I think about it, if I could add one thing to that.
Uh-huh.
I think that, yes, I agree with you. When I say niche here, I don't mean like Marissa Zappos. I think I more mean Sephora niche. Like the Fleurs, like the maybe Margiela replicas, okay. What I just called mass. I think brands like that.
I think brands in Sephora are mass.
I think brands in Sephora are mass too.
I get it. They're not like...
They're not a counter brand.
Yeah.
They're not a Lancôme.
Yeah.
I think brands like a Fleur or like Kaylee.
They're like in exclusive doors.
Exactly, yeah. And not like conglomerates.
Yeah.
I think that even though we know that their timelines are pretty lengthy as well, I think that they are a reflection of what's actually happening culturally and trend-wise largely. Mm-hmm. I think that I agree with you. The counter mass brands like the Lancômes and Pradas are reflecting the fail-safes. Yeah. You know what I mean? We don't often get innovation or excitement from them. We just get what's going to work, which can also be beautiful.
They are beautiful scents. That's why they're popular,
right.
Obviously. I don't really hate any of them.
Right. There's no risk being taken there. Right. Whereas,
But I am curious to see, because now that skin scents are becoming peak popularity.
You think?
Yeah. Okay. I think it's like the meification of everything. Everyone's individuality, blah, blah, blah.
Call me.
I'm like, okay, who's going to be the first designer brand to do their own interpretation of a skin scent? I wonder.
You think skin scents are huge right now?
Yes.
Question mark. Okay. okay. I
don't think, to me, I don't think the scent itself is a skin scent. I think it clearly has its own scent, but I think the concept of skin scents are really popular. Like the idea that it smells different on everyone because of your own unique body chemistry is very popular right now.
Yes. Yes.
And people are trying to find different ways to kind of communicate and capitalize on that. So far, I feel like in the more niche categories.
Okay, because I think that the idea, and we might be talking about two different things because of what you just said, and I think I am following, but I think that skin scents, how we have known and talk about them, are less popular than ever.
No, I think you're right, because I don't think they're necessarily less popular, but what I do think is that all these like really expressive, bold, punchy scents are also becoming more popular, and it's not a sub-zero, no. It's not a zero-sum relationship. I think they're both growing.
Yes, I was getting to that very same thing. I think, one, to echo you, people are finally not afraid to actually smell like something again.
Yeah.
And then, two, to echo that second part that you just said, everything is so popular.
Totally.
Like trends almost, like trends don't exist, but like they're all types of scents are on the rise right now because there is truly something for everyone at all times every day, that it is hard to say like, well, this is trending higher than this, though I do think louder scents are indexing higher.
Definitely, yeah. If you think about the influence of social media, the fact that everyone's talking about fragrance now, people who never wear fragrance are going to be like, oh, damn, do I need a perfume now?
Right.
But they're going to go for something that's a skin scent probably to dip their toes in.
Totally.
Before they build it up.
Yeah. And I cannot tell you the amount of times I've heard in the last 18 months, and frankly, I've said it too differently though, because it's our job, that when I talk to people about fragrance, they're like, I used to have a signature scent, or I used to have one for winter, one for summer, but now I have five, and I just go with what I'm feeling, and I'm like, welcome, girl. Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah.
It's an expensive hobby if you're a fragrance collector. It is an expensive hobby.
That is
totally. So it's cool that I think that there are now a lot more options of different price points out there. but also it's dangerous because once you're hooked, the perception value is like, oh, okay, 290, that's not bad for fragrance. And then
broken brain. But that's what I mean about the democratization of quality. You can get better shit for less money more often. Then it doesn't have to be a dupe. You can get really beautiful shit from a Target brand. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, no, totally.
And I think that was not as easy to say even 5 years ago.
You're right. We have to come up with a different word for luxury, man.
Well,
we have to.
Well,
like a new economic term for the luxury we mean.
I don't think luxury is the problem. It's just the fact that it's so beaten into death, and luxury has been democratized for the better by the consumer. So it's like, what do we mean? Like, when you say luxury, you're not saying anything. It's
like, when you say for the better, my instinct is to be like, is it? Not that I think it's great to have these exclusive class prohibitive things. Yeah. I don't think they should exist either.
Of course not.
But I was listening to one of my favorite writers, Tressie McMillan Cottom. She's a sociologist. And she said something about the Walmart Birkin.
Oh, yeah.
And like, people are getting mad because they're like, oh, you just don't want us to have nice things. You're a gatekeeper if you don't like this. And she said that the reason people feel that way is largely because we're willing to bypass a lot of ethical and political things as long as we're able to consume out of our class. I was like, that is a very true point.
I'm not sure I understand what you mean.
Okay, everything's expensive now. Okay. There's no upward mobility. There's no jobs. Economically speaking, everything is more expensive. No one can buy their first home anymore.
Right.
And that sucks.
Yeah.
But as long as people can consume out of that, so they can buy a Birkin and feel nice about it and feel elevated, then they're like, okay, everything's going to be cool. As long as you can consume.
Present.
Yes, yes. As long as you can present out of your class, then in an upward direction.
Sure.
Then people are willing to negotiate lots of ethical things.
Oh.
Like the Birkin.
Got it. Yeah. That is the most hilarious and extreme case of this, because obviously we could talk about the process of getting a Birkin and how much they cost all day long.
It's
all so insane. But I think what I mean when I say for the better is that I think that, again, it's not brands that are determining what is of value anymore. It is the consumer, and also the industries will keep it in beauty because that's our industry, but are not driven and dictated by the L'Oreal's, Estee Lauder's anymore. We have, and say what you want about the proliferation of product in general, but these D2C brands and people coming in and making things that are of quality at a lower price point. And I'm not talking about bootlegs. I'm not talking about the dossier of it all. Thank you. But I think just quality is easier to access at a lower price point, which I think is for the better. We were talking about this before, and I saw this headline this week that there's been a lot of talk about Keurig. Not Keurig.
It was like the coffee pots?
No, Keurig is the coatee of fashion.
Oh, yeah.
They're behind groups like Saint Laurent, Bottega Veneta, Balenciaga, etc. They've seen a huge dip in sales in 2024, specifically in Gucci, which is down 25% revenue drop and a 38% decline in wholesale, citing difficult market conditions. I think that is interesting.
Also, the quality's worse.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Things are getting more expensive for worse quality.
Kara, Rachel, and I always say nothing is lined. Nothing is lined, but
nothing is sealed.
I think because quality is easier to access now, and yes, there is way too much of everything. We don't need another product. We don't need any other goddamn things. Lord, be a coherent thought. People are not relying, like, the luxury brand, the monogram bag is not the be-all end-all anymore. You know what I mean? I think people certainly aren't consuming any more wisely than they have been, but they have more outlets for which to consume and feel like they are getting a luxury brand, even if it doesn't have the Gucci monogram on it.
Sure.
And that is then affecting the big guys.
The quiet luxury of it all.
Exactly. Or the loud luxury of it all. Anyway. Does that make sense, though?
There's just so many more brands popping up. I feel like every time I go to Stelle, they're like, these people are new and these people are new.
Take a shot every time we talk about Stelle.
But I'm just like, wow, there's just so many brands launching. Mm-hmm. And that's really cool. There's so many cool new smells and new interpretations of smells.
Yeah.
And I cannot, it's hard to keep up, but it's also overwhelming.
Yeah.
I don't know. I am easily overstimulated, I've realized.
So I think that's what I mean when it's, why do you think luxury is on the downturn? Because no one has any fucking money, and we're all getting way smarter about, like, how we consume.
Yeah, are we? I don't know. We'll see.
No, because there's so many more ways to... Having more options for consumption does not make it smarter or better. I know. Anyway, let me not. They're going to rip me apart in the comments. Just again, go to Fragantica.
I need to put a trigger warning on this literally. Episode description. If you don't like two people who know nothing about the economy talking about the economy, don't listen to this. I'm going to copy paste up with that in the front.
Right.
Trigger warning. Anyway, we're so glad to be back.
Yes.
Excited for this year. This year for the podcast. You should give us 5 stars and a rating. Yeah, just 5 stars everywhere you can put stars. Just put them everywhere. On Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever. You can find us at our website, smellyleader.live. We have some cozy merch coming up. We have some new surprises coming up that we've been working on, so stay tuned for that. Follow us on Instagram. We're at smellylater.mp3. I'm at Sabletooth Tikra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will smell you later.